This is a CBC podcast.
When you sit in the public galleries at the legislature, you're told not to participate in the proceedings. No signs, no clapping, no cameras. But that is not what happened on Monday. You can hear the speaker yelling order and eventually telling MLAs to leave the chamber now. And they did. Now the whole thing is being investigated and the rules are already changing for public access to those galleries. For the latest, we've reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan. Murray Madrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Adam, what's the fallout from that protest?
Quite a bit. And it was pretty remarkable. You can hear it on the tape. I know people have probably seen the scenes there. Nothing that we've experienced in the House. And the governments and the security services there have both acted. We'll start with the security service. They're deciding to cap the number of guests, at least until November 30th. You have to have 72 hours notice pre-registered with the security office. You have to leave your name and address. And school groups won't be affected. But this, I think, is to sort of keep a cap on the number of people. We had hundreds of people at the legislature the other day. The galleries were more max capacity. There are also people in overflows outside of the rotunda in the NDP caucus room that where they were offered a chance to watch from there. So a huge number of people in the building, obviously. They're going to take a stance on that for at least for a temporary time for the time being. The second thing is that there will be an investigation. The government put forward a motion to have the origins of this protest looked at. And there was initial thoughts, and the government stands by this, that Jennifer Bowes of the NDP and other caucus members, even the leader of the opposition, had a role to play in this because some of them met with some of the protesters a few days before and a day before Carla Beck called for a ceasefire. So that's what came up yesterday. But there will be an investigation by a government committee. House Leader Jeremy Harrison says that he'd prefer if it's an investigation done by a third party, an officer of the legislature, so it's not the government members investigating other government members.
Murray, what is the opposition's role here? Do we know?
I don't think they have had much of a role in organizing the demonstration, the protest, or not sure, any role, actually, in any organizational capacity. I think they have a problem. I think they have a problem in Jennifer Bowes and her actions in the legislature. She stood up in solidarity while people inside the legislature were disrupting legislative proceedings to the point where government could not pass law. And whether it was Yellow Vesters, whether it was Freedom Convoy people, whether it was pro-Palestinian protesters who have a interesting cause, an important cause related to what's going on in the Middle East, to interrupt proceedings of the legislature is something that can't be permitted by any democracy. That's where I think everybody has to agree with government and opposition in that regard. You had an MLA standing up in unison in solidarity with this while she was actually being asked to leave the chamber by the speaker, by the way. So she's actually problematic I think the NDP more so than almost anything else. She ties directly to these groups that are trying to make this an issue, a political issue here. And this is exactly what I think Scott Moe wants at this particular moment, because I don't think Scott Moe wants to talk about our next subject, which is going to be Ryan Domator and the solicitation charges he now faces as an MLA within an hour and a half after he left the legislature. I don't think Scott Moe wants to be talking about Gary Graywall, owner of the Sunrise Motel, who is another MLA, who we now found out made $172,000 last year charging social service clients, and we know that the hotel was charging as much as $200 a room. These are issues of moral importance and speak largely to integrity and I'm sure Scott Moe does not want to be talking about this, but he surely does want to be talking about whether the NDP played a role in this protest. And normally we could just simply dismiss that except for the fact of what we're seeing from Jennifer Bowes and the groups that she's tied into that basically decided that this was going to be something that they thought appropriate to do. It was inappropriate, and they can holler all they want about how unfair it is and how we don't get it and everything else. You can't disrupt democracy. You just can't, because that then you have the chaos that ensues. I don't think the NDP were doing that. I don't think they were even tied to that, but they have one MLA too closely tied to people with not understanding the issue in play for the opposition and the government, and that's hugely problematic.
Well, Adam, let's us talk about the MLA who was booted from government caucus a week ago or so, but since we last spoke.
Yeah, last Friday afternoon, we got a news release from the government saying that Ryan D'Amatore was no longer in the government caucus. He was stripped of his responsibilities. As Murray mentioned, D'Amatore was speaking in the 75-minute debate on Thursday at 11 o'clock. He was in the House until 12:30. He was arrested at 2 p.m. at a hotel in Regina, charged with communicating for the purposes of obtaining sexual services as part of an operation by the Regina police that they're calling related to human trafficking. We don't have any more details on that. He was one of 16 people arrested. He'll be in court in January. We've reached out to Ryan D'Amatore. He hasn't returned our requests. He hasn't been in the House either. He's still the MLA for Cutknife Turtleford. His seat has been moved to the other side of the room, and he's sitting in the back benches again, but by himself if he comes back. But this is something that the opposition tried to make the number one question every day. It was derailed, obviously, but they wanted to tie it to the government's, what they're calling lack of support for vulnerable women, the high rates of domestic violence in the province, and what they're calling the lack of response from the government. And having an MLA charged with this is something they're saying reflects that.
What do you make of this?
Well, Premier Scott Moe acted swiftly. He removed him. His language was as condemning as I've ever heard from a premier related to removing an MLA. Vile, disgusting, I think, were the words that he used. And this is an individual that still hasn't had his day in court. So if anything, legally, it's we're being unfair to Mr. D'Amatore until we see how these charges play out. But the political court, the poor court of public opinion, one gets what the premier has to do. He has to distance himself as much as possible from this story because this is a government that runs on family values. The whole pronoun bill, the whole exercise we had pre-session on Bill 137 related to pronouns was based on the notion family first. Families know best. We support families. Well, here's a problem. You have somebody that's basically doing something that is certainly not social convention, that certainly does not pertain to Saskatchewan family values. And if you're a government running on this, you obviously have to act swiftly and deal with it. It's similar with the problem with Mr. Graywall from a totally different vantage, is that if you're a businessman who's taking advantage based on your political, and this is the allegations of the opposition, by taking advantage of your situation to overcharge social services, hardly family values when you're hurting people in need and who are vulnerable. Now, this is the narrative that the NDP probably would like to be talking about in the legislature during their limited opportunity to do so. Unfortunately, they can't right now, or they're not right now, because of Ms. Bose's actions, who chose basically at this particular time to play the role of activist as opposed to play the role of MLA. And now Carla Beck has to do some explaining in relation to that. So it's a big mess in the legislature this week, more so than usual, and to be quite frank, a bit of a sad one.
You know, you mentioned the tough talk by the premier when it comes to this MLA, but what about the policy issues? You mentioned the rates of intimate partner violence, double the national average. We also just talked on this show half an hour ago to the head of Regina Sexual Assault Center. They don't have enough money or people to provide counseling, and this came up in the legislature too. But before an 8-month wait list, she mentions that a big risk factor for human trafficking is if you're abused and they provide counseling. But again, people are waiting for that counseling and sometimes don't ever come back to get it after waiting 8 months. What do you think the options are for the government here to do something beyond more than talk tough about one guy?
The critic for justice, Nicole Saar, yesterday coming out after this human trafficking amendment was put forward, and it's to do with coerced debt and people that are exploited and having to pay back loans or maybe have a bad credit rating because they're forced to take out a loan or take out a credit card. And Nicole Sarr said, this costs the government no money. This isn't something they're doing where they're putting money into something. They're not putting their money where their mouth is on this, that there aren't enough – there isn't enough money for second stage shelters, that we're late to the party on that, to providing operational funding, providing capital funding. Brahman Nair, the Minister of Justice, will say, well, actually, we're doing that. We've heard from people. We are doing more about that. But a lot of the changes that the government's announced in this specific area, the opposition has said aren't costing them money. Clare's Law is another example. Clare's Law doesn't cost the government money. So these are things that the government isn't really putting its money behind. They're talking about it. They're speaking to it. But it isn't enough of an effort, according to the opposition.
Do you think that a government that touts family values needs to do more about women who are abused?
Funny you should ask, because right now I'm writing about our newspaper cheer campaign, where you're talking every day to people who all get support from the Justice Department, all our organizations, Transition House, Sophia's House, all the Wish House, all YMCA, they all get support from government, which is great. And they all are appreciative. But the fact that we have to raise money every year for not just the extra things like buying the kids Christmas presents when they're there, but actually for things like counseling kind of hits a little close to home right now. By the way, I'll be hitting you guys up for donations sometime along the way for this cause, because it's a great cause. But I think that it's so problematic when the government tries to make it about something that they can do by magically changing a law to make things better, as opposed to committing resources to it. And this is the trap that I think that Justice Mr. Bronwyn Eyre fell into yesterday. Obviously, it would be great if we could find a way to separate those who are living off the avails of prostitution from those who they're taking advantage of in whatever way, if there's a way to seize assets, etc. But the problem is the individual damage done to the people, where the people need to do the hard work of talking to people, of counseling, and that requires money and support. And they're not getting enough of it for government. That's why we do at the paper what we do.
Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.